Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Appreciate you starting up your Friday and your weekend right here on B&E. Appreciate you doing it each and every day. And we are on the road. But not just any road, Buck. We're at the 21st playing of the Mullet Open. We'll tee off at 11 o'clock this morning. And the field folks start rolling in here probably about 9 o'clock usually, right? Get signed up, get a taco, get themselves ready to go. Get a little
start their chatter.
Get their swing loosened up and then start drinking some swing lubricant.
Absolutely.
The great folks from Tito's are here. Maybe some Bloody Marys.
Got a little testing going on this morning. Christina Crean, who is one of the directors of over at Tito's, is here. And, you know, I just had asked her the question, you know, I had talked about, you know, what Tito does all over, not just in our area, but all over the world. He's got over 10,000 charities now. 10,000.
Yeah.
You know, and we were one of the first, by the way, 21 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Tito Beverage, an incredible ambassador for us and for so many around the globe, as a matter of fact, because it's amazing what started here with Tito's in Central Texas is a global brand.
I think you remember when I first went out there, and they were, I don't know if they were spitting on the back of the labels and slapping them to the bottles. They were on sideways at times. They've come such a long way, but they still have their same digs out that way.
Yeah, same spot. We are not in our same spot. We started this tournament 21 years ago.
At
Circle C Golf Club back in the day.
Do you remember that first event?
I do.
And we had a double shotgun.
That was the one time we did that, right?
That was the last time.
First and last morning and afternoon tea time. That was a long day. That was a long day.
Especially when we ran out of beer after the first flight. And I'm like, there's no way that these guys can drink. The Brown Distributing and Agnes and the gang and the whole works and Mr. Brown. I mean, they were like, okay, here's these cases. There's no way. This is for the day. It's not happening. And it was a lot. And by the time the second flight was ready to go out, there was no more beer. I think he had to go to the store.
Yeah, I had to run down to Randall's right there.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the closest grocery store at the time, and you gave me the credit card, and we bought a bunch more.
And we used to have people that would come in from all over the state to play in it, and we'd have to call roll call for the morning group because they were still down in 6th Street. Some of them were still just, like, laid in the alleys in 6th Street. We'd have to call them up. Where are you? I'm on my way. I'm just leaving 6th Street. Really? It's tea time.
Well, you've built it up, my friend, because now you're at the resort. You're at the resort.
How about that?
Course,
yes.
Hyatt Lost Pines and Wolf Dancer.
And thanks to the Hyatt, man, the stays that you get, you don't get to stay at this place for the $200 and some that we get on this special occasion. People will come out here, and this will be their staycation, and some will come from all over the state and bring their grandkids. There'll be a lot of kids out here. This place is the most kid-friendly resort I've ever been around. I mean, kids and animals. I'm like, where did the adults go here? I'm like, I guess there must be a spot for mom and dad because there are so many kids. And I thought at one time if we could get the baby shark deal that people have been doing. I mean, I know people know them. I had talked about them this year, and they said, Buck, if you ever can pull that off, there wouldn't be a hotel room left in this city. And the kids from all over this Central Texas would be here to see the Sharks. If I could ever get them here, on like a Friday night to do a performance out back at the hotel, they said, that's pulling one off for the charity right there. I said, I don't know if I can pull that off. I have no clue. All I know is my grandkids do the baby shark, daddy shark, grandma shark, or whatever the hell that is. I mean,
shark.
Yeah. It was almost like Teletubbies. I mean, it was just like that group or all these little groups that are going on. But this one is so popular right now. And the hotel staff and management said, you think you can pull that off? And I'm like, I don't even know where to start to pull that off at. Why did I even mention that to you people?
Incredible. All right, let's get to your quick headlines, and we'll continue the golf conversation, but also a lot of top stories this morning. Let's get you caught up on the news of the morning as you get up and out. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and yeah, a lot out there. We'll start over at UFCU Dish Falk Field, where the 22nd-ranked Longhorns blasted Kansas 12-4 to open their final regular season series. Beat the Jayhawks pretty good. Pete Hansen, six innings to get the win. Really, the bats were what it was all about. 17 hits for the Horns, headlined by Mitchell Daly's 3-for-5 night. He had a grand slam, drove in five. And how about Ivan Melendez? Every night, 3-for-5 with a three-run homer, hit homer number 27 now for the Hispanic Titanic. Also in college athletics, not as good a news for the Longhorn football team. Jordan Addison, the star wide receiver, Biletnikoff winner from Pittsburgh, who entered the transfer portal, has chosen USC for his school over Texas. Addison, of course, was in Austin last week, had a great visit, then went to California, said it was a tough decision. He made it official on social media last night. Also in college football, after Texas A&M coach Jimbo Fisher went scorched earth on Alabama's Nick Saban yesterday morning, Saban has attempted to clear the air with an apology of sorts. Saban appeared on SiriusXM radio yesterday afternoon and said he never should have singled anybody out when making comments about the current name, image, and likeness environment of college football. NBA last night, how about game two of the Eastern Conference Finals? After the Heat dominated game one, game two, all Celtics last night down on South Beach as they got Marcus Smart and Al Horford back into their starting lineup, and they blistered the Heat 127-103 in San Francisco tonight. It will be game two of the Western Conference Finals, Mavericks and Warriors. Warriors took game one. Mavericks looking to get the equalizer this evening. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros, Texas Rangers playing the Silver Boot Series down in Houston. Astros take game one 5-1. It was Framber Valdez with seven strong on the mound. Jose Altuve with a four-hit night in that ball game. And PGA Championship, round one in the books. And Rory McIlroy, your story, fired a first-round 65 yesterday, good for 5-under par. He's one better than Will Zalatoris and Tom Hoagie, the TCU Horn Frog, two better than Matt Kuchar, Justin Thomas, and Abraham Answer. Round two about to tee off in Tulsa.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, I always talk about what Tito did. He was the first one I went to. But the very next one I went to, and I don't want to forget to mention him, Academy Sports and Outdoors. And we give away a special award every year. And we'll give away one again today here in honor of Greg Miller. One of the general managers over at Academy Sports and Outdoors who, 21 years ago I went to him and he gave me a tent set for the Mullet Open. And now they are in this thing big. And his life was a special life, and he lost his life. He needed to have a transplant, I think a liver transplant. It never happened for him, and he passed away. And he was a great man. So we give that award out each and every day. But thank you to Academy Sports and Outdoors. And I'd be crazy if I left out Cavenders. And then Ariat Boots joined right in. But Cavenders is a special Texas, you know, bred and born and everything else. So I want to thank Ron and the gang out at Cavenders. They'll be in here shortly. They give out their own goodie bag. So not only do you get a Mullet Open, you know, from us, that you get Cavenders is here every year. And they were here yesterday with their guys out here playing. So
appreciate all the partners.
Absolutely. And tons of them.
Obviously, it's
Top Gun, you name it. I mean, they're a big part of what we do.
Brown Distributing, of course. It's not a tournament without them, and it's certainly not a tournament without the players. And we appreciate everybody that's heading out here this morning. If you are going to be en route this morning listening, make sure you're hydrating, getting yourself ready. It's going to be a warm day today, 94 degrees to top things out. And we're talking all things college football, obviously. And it's interesting, you know, back earlier in the month, we had an interview with Bobby Burton. From inside Texas, Bobby Burton's been doing the college football recruiting scene for so long. He covered you when you were recruiting at Illinois and at Texas. He's been doing it that long, and he wrote a column in which he said he wrote many administrators and coaches believe the Aggies bought the top recruiting class in the country. Right. And so we had Bobby on to talk about the current landscape, and we got a bunch of texts and emails and Twitter stuff from people, Aggie fans, saying, hey, nice hit piece with Bobby Burton. Why would you have Bobby Burton on? Well, you know, not 2 weeks later, Nick Saban said it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was one thing for Bobby Burton to say, coaches and administrators I talk to are saying they believe the Aggies bought the class. Well, Nick Saban just flat out said it on Wednesday night. And obviously he's now doubled back
from
that. So
they bought every
player.
Every player.
Every player. And this is, you know, look, Aggies have to get used to this. But at the same time, you know, Jimbo Fisher yesterday coming back as strongly as he did. But for Jimbo Fisher to say, and when asked, well, do you know about these collectives, these LLCs, these things that have been built? Because clearly the Aggies have done that. And for him to say, I don't know anything about that, I don't know anything about that. I mean, to sit there and act like he doesn't and look, maybe that's true. Maybe he wants no part of that. He recruits like he recruits. And
right.
They, you know, if outside of him, unknown to him, they're offering these deals or at least the idea of these deals to these prospects and that's helping them recruit, it gives Jimbo Fisher plausible deniability. That's not me. That's over there. We're recruiting. We're doing our thing over here.
Yeah, if it was 30 years ago, I may have bought that.
Right.
In this day and age, no, you know everything that's going on. The money you make, you're not going to give up one red penny of that. You're going to know everything about your program. You're going to know the alums, the people outside, who's doing what. You're going to hear about it. You're going to investigate it. You're going to turn over every stone.
I could see a coach wanting to stay out of it and knowing
sure.
it's going to benefit him. But it's ridiculous to suggest you don't know anything about it. You're clueless as to its existence, the way Jimbo Fisher is. Because, you know, Steve Sarkisian, there's collectives here in Austin for the Longhorns. He's been pretty clear. I don't have anything to do with those. I didn't have anything to do with Bijan's Lambo deal. I don't – that's them.
Right.
But at the same time, to suggest you don't know about them, you don't know that they're there.
It's almost like they don't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, really? You do know they exist, right?
I can understand the coach wanting plausible deniability to say, that's not me. You know, that's a different, you know, that's outside of us. This is our football program. This is our athletic department. This is how we do things. But
I mean, he comes off the common sense part of it.
Yes.
I mean, really.
Yeah, he's trying to like act like they're not even there. Or he doesn't even know they're there. Oh, really? That's happening? Oh, wow. Which, of course, that irritates people like Nick Saban who are saying,
Jimbo Fisher has been around an awful long time. He knows when it was really the Wild Wild West. When there was no control over the
right.
bag man or the bag lady or the left on your doorstep.
Well, that
or
was
the
beauty
car.
Of yesterday.
Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher pleading ignorant, but at the same time saying, hey, you going to listen to that guy? I was on his staff. I know what goes on there.
Well,
I know what I was told to do.
Now, Nick, that had to hurt right there.
Yeah.
Because you're out, if you're talking about one guy and he's been on your staff, he knows everything about you, too.
Yeah. And he also had Jimbo, whether you agree or not with him, had so many just pointed lines yesterday. He said, you know, you work with someone like Bobby Bowden and you learn the right way to do things. And then you work with some others and you learn what not to do.
Yeah. Well, watch that one too, Jimbo, about Bobby Bowden. You
oh,
need
I
to
know.
Be careful about that one too.
I know.
You're talking about Bobby Bowden here now.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's the housewives of the SEC. It's bickering. It is. I thought it was not a good look for either side. But here's where we are. I mean, these guys have egos. These guys are used to doing things their way and getting their way. And now there's things happening that they have no control over. As you're right. I mean, at one point, Jimbo Fisher said his narcissism won't allow him to not have his way is essentially what Jimbo Fisher
was
saying.
Yeah, because he's had his way for a long, long
right.
time.
Well, and that I think that's for a lot of coaches.
Yes.
I've been running the roost now, and now I don't. And I think they're uncomfortable, like you have said. You know, the players are getting cut in.
Well, yeah, they're uncomfortable because of the fact that the players now have some say. They don't like. I mean, coaches used to have all the say. I mean, whether it's the uniforms. Well, here's where we're going to go with this company, and we're not only going to do this for the football program, but for the universities. Guess where you guys are going to be? You're going to be with Nike. You're not going to be with Under Armour. This is what I want for
right.
my football
they
program.
Got to run the
you
program.
All are going to get to do this now.
Front to back.
Like, yes.
And obviously the players are gaining some control, gaining some income, gaining some opportunity. And I think they don't like it. I think that's fair to say. But at the same time, I would say I've been appreciative of somebody like Steve Sarkisian's approach to this. Is, you know, you have to evolve with it.
Mm-hmm.
It whether you like it or not, it's the world in which we live.
Or you're going to get left behind in it.
And it's going to be about personal relationships with these players moving forward and building those personal relationships, getting to know every player in your locker room, trying to understand them. And I'm not saying Sarks is making every step correctly. I'm just saying that the old guard coaches who are used to, as you say, having all control, total control, they're going to struggle. I mean, at least with the whole idea of not being in control of everything that's happening within their program.
Yeah, and I still think it's, you know, the coaches can say it, but I think it really will come to the destructive end when the players themselves in the locker room are jealous of what another player is making. No matter what you say, oh, we're in it for the team, and Bijan's a wonderful kid, and he may be. But eventually, somebody's going to be just a little bit – because that's life in general. Somebody's going to be a little bit uneasy about what somebody else gets and how important they are to the team than what you are important to the team. And that's when it's just going to just tear apart. I mean, when kids start jumping each other and then they don't decide, I'm not playing today, I'm just a little bit upset at this kid right over here, he just made a little bit more, that's when it all starts to come to an end and they're really going to have to do something different about it. But I think they can cut it off. They're not going to cut it off next year. It's football is going on the way it is next year. But they've got to come up with some kind of, you know, everybody hates the commissioner, but there's some good commissioners out there that are doing some good things in professional sports and have done for a long, long time. Whether it's been baseball, football, we've all had bad ones, but it's also had some good ones because the professional sports continue to go on. I don't see any end to baseball. I know they had their strikes and football has had, you know, their differences, but it still goes on. You know why? And that's because they've gotten together and they've put trust in somebody. They get mad at that individual or his staff, but they put the trust in. They're going to have to do that in college football or college sports in general.
It is an interesting parallel, but obviously at the professional level, which college sports are heading towards, mm-hmm. the owners choose the commissioner. The owners of the 30 or 32 or however many teams they have in the league.
And you know how hard that would get to be in the SEC.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who are the owners of college football? Who are going to get together collaboratively and agree on who the commissioner or the committee will be?
My deal is to keep it away from the coaches and put it the presidents of the university. Your job is to make sure this university runs smoothly. So that's your job, too. And the athletic programs of the universities, sorry, Mr. President, that's on you. I'm not letting that go with the coach.
You know what the problem with that is? There's going to be a lot of school presidents saying, what? I've got a university to run. I don't need to be on some committee in charge of college football.
Well, Alabama needs their football team.
I understand
and
that.
So does Texas.
But you know, Jay Hartzell's got a big job to run the University of Texas as president. That becomes.
But if he didn't have a football team here, how would you think this would be?
Sure. I'm not saying he – but they've already got – there's only 24 hours in the day. I mean, that is – you're going to have a lot of school presidents saying –
it's going to be on somebody else, another part.
I'll contribute to that,
yes.
But I've got a full-time job over here. I don't need to be that's what the commissioner – that's why the owners of all the teams, hire a commissioner and pay a commissioner.
Well, then that would be Jay Hartzell's job is to hire somebody within, and that whether it's an athletic director or somebody
maybe
else.
Maybe the school presidents get together to hire this and inform this committee.
True.
And hire a commissioner or a czar or whatever you want to call that. I agree with you.
Nick Saban's the czar. There's only one czar,
He's the demigod. There's no doubt. Let's dive into the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultation. Speaking of great partners of ours, Tom McKay and his team at avconsultations.com. Someone's going to win an 85-inch television set here today at the raffle from Tom and his team. And, heck, if you win it, make sure you've got a big enough car to get it and fit it in there. And then Tom will come set it up and make it look great and sound
absolutely.
Great when you're watching PGA Championship this weekend, NBA playoffs.
Or college football that's going to happen.
College football in the fall, it's going to happen. Taking your thoughts, Specs text line 512-337-3776. Obviously, the news Longhorn fans didn't want to hear yesterday in relation to Jordan Addison, the transfer portal wide receiver. Fair to say it was worth a shot. you went
yes.
all in.
Yes.
You made a great impression on the young guy. Using his connection within relationship with Brennan Marion. But in the end, it felt like USC from the jump.
Once that dude left campus, it was done.
Yeah. I think the Longhorns felt like they made a good impression. But at the end, when Lincoln Riley's fielding phone calls from Pat Narduzzi the day when word leaks that he's about to jump into the transfer portal, you know something was happening behind the scenes.
And that's just an old-fashioned recruiting deal. There are certain people that when you whether it's a Ricky Williams or a Vince Young, once they leave and say, well, it's between you and this guy, but I really love your school. Okay, if you love us so much, don't get on that plane and go to the next group because you're going to say the same. And I knew once he left this campus, at this time in his career, once he left here and it sounded like everything went really well, all right, okay, then you need to go home, just talk to your parents or whoever your advisor is and make that decision. This is the place because once he went to Southern California, I was like, that's it, done.
Yeah, and there will be those in Pittsburgh and in Southern California who said the whole Texas, maybe Alabama thing was cover
sure.
to make it not look like tampering at USC and make it so obvious that's where this thing was headed with Lincoln Riley. So that's where he's going. Longhorns will still be looking into the portal, have to imagine, for a receiver. Steve Sarkisian has been open that he's not comfortable with the depth that they have at that position, even though they've got talent at wide receiver, you know, beyond the top four players. There really isn't much, and there's very, very little experience, if any, behind Jordan Whittington and Xavier Worthy.
And they're
going
to have to get a young freshman ready to play wide receiver.
Brandon Stewart, yeah, the speedster.
I'll just say this. If you have a scholarship to go to University of Texas as a wide receiver, running back, or a specialist, you should be able to play as a freshman. they should be able to get you ready to go out there and perform if somebody goes down. You don't have to be a starter, but by the time somebody does go down, you should be well into this university and into the playbook with your talent to be able to play.
Well, it's an individual thing. We know Xavier Worthy showed up last year this time.
You know, not a lot of those.
Remember, he showed up. He wasn't here as an early enrollee, Xavier Worthy. He showed up in right after Memorial Day, and you already started to hear the buzz. Oh man, this kid's different.
Oh yeah, if you're recruited by five or six major colleges, including Oklahoma's, the Alabama's, the Texas of the world, Texas A&M, you're ready to go play. They should be able to get you ready.
You recruit a lot of players. I've got kids, right? It's maturity level. It's not about talent. Sure, they're being recruited because they have the talent to play there. But where's their head? Right? What's their competitive level? What's their willingness to go to work and learn the playbook? And, you know, some kids just get, you know, in over their head going off to college, for crying out loud, much less playing football. For some young people, there's going to be a figure-it-out period. For a guy like Xavier Worthy, there wasn't. You just never know. I think each player is different, and each player's got a different course. But you're right. The speedster who we saw last week at the state track and field tournament coming in from Spearman.
He's been on the podium before. He sounds like a mature enough kid. He's been, you know, in the limelight. If you've been in the limelight and you've been certain parts of your team for a long, long time, like Bijan Robinson, you're ready to go as a friend. You know, you're ready mentally to go.
Sure.
You've had those kind of experiences.
But if you're a Longhorn fan, the freshman that you're most hoping can walk in and play quickly are on the offensive line. The receiver, that'd be great because it's insurance behind receiver you already feel pretty good about.
No, I'm talking about special players. Your offensive line, if a guy's not ready to go as a freshman, I'm not mad at anybody on that.
All right,
that's just a different world.
All right, there's your coach's corner. Jordan Addison is off to USC. He made that official last night on social media.
So he's not even taking that trip to Alabama that he was going to take?
Well, we've been reporting that this week, that he canceled that. That wasn't going to happen. It really was never scheduled.
It was never going to happen, probably.
He is going to confirm to USC. We will continue those conversations. Thoughts on college football, the state of it. Certainly the Longhorns and their pursuit of transfer portal players. Summer workouts are coming, and we're live at the Mullet Open. Coming back, we'll pick up the game last night. How about the Celtics responding emphatically to a game one loss to the Miami Heat? They bounce back in a big way. We'll go there. Also preview the Mavericks and Warriors tonight. Got some baseball. Ivan Melendez, another home run. Three more guys. It's every night, and he's two away now, or one away from tying the all-time program mark. We'll hit that coming back as well. It's B&E with you. Zay Collier leads us through hot or not topics. We've got great guests and friends coming to join us out here at the Mullet Open. So lock it in all morning long, live, local, and digital on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, B&E with you, discussing the state of college football. Jimbo Fisher v. Nick Saban, Deion Sanders involved as well. And whatever you say, Jimbo Fisher, give him credit for controlling the narrative, at least in his way. He did not wait around. He did not put out a statement. He had a press conference, and he went full blustery defense of anything that was said. And it was wrestling-like. It was World WWE yesterday in the Southeastern Conference.
He invoked Bobby Bowden, rest in peace.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, Jimbo.
Yeah, well, it was personal. That's why when you say the housewives of the SEC, I mean, it's personal. This is not just about college football, their team. This is personal between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, we'll get to the point where we're saying the bootlegger's son never did anything.
Who, Barry Switzer?
I mean, no, he's clean as could be. Are you kidding me?
Well, and that's the thing with people talking
about. Tom Osborne never had anything underneath the table for a player from New Jersey to play running back.
Yeah, well, that was – remember, I mean –
there was a Heisman Trophy.
Part of the reason Darryl Royal retired at 52 is he felt like it was getting too squirrely, and he didn't want to go there. So he hung it up. So that's been going on. We know what happened in the 80s in the Southwest Conference. We know what's been – and again, the money just has been growing and growing and growing, and it's not going away. Finally, the players are cut in and allowed. But sure, that was going to lead to growing pains, and that's where we are. I don't think it kills the golden goose. I don't think it kills college football. It will change college football, there is no doubt. But they do need leadership.
When people have parameters, people around the sport feel more comfortable.
Sure, and it doesn't mean they're following them all the time. And
right.
I'm not saying everyone was not following them, but You know, it goes back to something that we talked about for a long time, that, you know, college basketball. Sonny Vaccaro was the longtime, you know, shoe ambassador, mm-hmm. right? Sonny Vaccaro was a big player in college basketball. As they will know the name Sonny Vaccaro. And I will never forget, there was, talk about the school presidents, there was a committee of presidents gathering to talk about the growing issues in college basketball and the money that was involved. And it was Sonny Vaccaro that point blank looked at the committee of presidents and said, look, you're the president.
You can only say no.
We can only offer you this money to your university. You're the one that chooses to take it or not.
Yeah, you can say no, we don't want to do that.
You could say no. We're offering the money. We want Nike to be your school's shoe, for sure, or Reebok, or whoever it was. But we can only offer that money. That's kind of the point. Once the universities began to accept the shoe revenue and the TV contracts and the lucrative money that was pouring in from ESPN and the television partners, they didn't ever stop it. And they said, okay, we're going to take it. And they continued to boost the salaries of their highly paid coaches and their coaching staffs and their stadiums. And, you know, they were reaping the benefits of that. And now all of a sudden the players finally and the student athletes are allowed to get cut in on the deal legally. And everyone's freaking out. And it's like, that's the ultimate greed. If all of a sudden a Supreme Court decision that smacked you in the face and said you can't keep doing what you're doing, you know, and fans are all freaking out, just figure out a way to do it right. Figure out a way to do it smartly.
Well, you had to do that as a coach. When you started, when coaches started getting into the $5, $6, $7 million a year range, and then the coordinators, when coordinators started making $1 million, that's when I was like, what?
Well,
I mean, he's a coach too. He and we all coordinate together. That guy's going to make $1 million.
Yes,
million and a half. Maybe I'm wrong. It's $1.5 million, $2 million.
To me, that's the irony of the big name coaches bickering at each other. Because I mean, at the end of the day, the presidents and then the coaches are the cause of this, right? Why does the transfer portal exist? Because coaches were unwavering with their ability. They wouldn't allow players to transfer. They would hold kids that wanted to go somewhere else and would not sign waivers and would not allow them to do so because they were the boss and they knew better for
the
young person. And that's what led to the ability to transfer. The NCAA, as we found out in some financial disclosures this week, they were so up in their ears in lawsuits because student athletes who would file for waivers, NCAA would decline them or the school would decline them. Well, they would turn around and sue. To get out, and of course it got
they didn't want to be in court all the time,
right? Which is what they were. Well, it was the coaches' heavy handedness that led to that. Coaches' salaries, rocketing, and then their ability.
And now they're squealing on each other.
Well, and their ability to bounce whenever they wanted to, right? You could go from this job to this job to this job, but players couldn't go wherever they wanted to. There was penalties involved. Coaches are a huge part of why we are where we are. That's why it's ironic that it's the coaches that are now bickering about the current state of situations. You know, figure it out. They're crying for leadership.
That's crying for
someone or some entity to come in and provide that. It's not going to be the NCAA, but in its void, we're going to have these kind of situations, I think, as we move forward. But it is the countdown to college football season. It's 100 days away, and now everyone has circled October the 8th when Texas A&M plays Alabama. Texas plays Oklahoma that very same day. PGA Championship, the Friday round two is underway. We'll keep you posted with the leaderboard. It was Rory McIlroy who sizzled yesterday with a 65. First time he's led a major, Buck, since 2014. After a round.
And this is a guy who has great iron play. When his irons are going good.
Yes.
I mean, and his putter's going good, he is fantastic.
He just drives it so long and straight. And it kind of feels like it's mental for Rory McIlroy. Can he lock in for 4 days and go get this thing? So we'll see as that tees off today. We had basketball last night with the Celtics just blasting the Miami Heat in a turnaround game from game one. It was all Heat in the second half of game one. It was all Celtics last night in Miami. That series 1-1. We felt like when we talked about this was going to be a long series, and I don't expect the Heat to go away, and they'll respond. It wouldn't surprise me to see them win one in Boston. They're that talented, and this series feels like going to go back and forth as a heavyweight battle for sure. We also had the Longhorn baseball team last night, Buck. I know it almost becomes redundant to talk about Ivan Melendez, but this is a very, very special season for a very talented player, obviously. But another home run last night. If not for a close call at third base, his three-run homer would have been a grand slam, one of two grand slams they would have hit in the fourth inning last night. They pound the Jayhawks 12-4. You have two more chances as a fan to get out and see Ivan Melendez live because there's no guarantee the Longhorns get another home game beyond Saturday when they wrap up this series. But he's now batting let me get the stats accurate, Buck. Ivan Melendez is now batting .428. After a three-hit night last night, .428 for the season. He's over 100 ABs now. He's 105 at-bats. He's batting .428. He has got 27 home runs. He's driven in 85 runs, slugging almost .950. Just absolutely absurd what he's doing.
Most of the time for me, I'm as a former coach and fan of sports, sometimes I like to see what the kids do in college, and a lot of times it doesn't really bother me. I'll follow them into the professional level. This dude right here, I want to see what he does at the next level. This is a guy that I think everybody will be wondering, can he do it at the next level?
Well,
I know he's not going to bat .400, but
right.
What's he going to be like at that next level? I know he can feel now at first base.
Yeah, and I saw some, the Baseball Amateur Draft is coming up this summer and actually not very long from now. And I saw a first-round mock that didn't have I don't know where Ivan – we'll have to get some intel on where they expect him
but
to
But you will
drafted.
Follow him.
Oh, no question. And he is a professional hitter already. The power he hits with, he doesn't just hit home runs. He hits mammoth home runs because he squares up the baseball. I mean, that's what hitting is about. And then the plate discipline, the ability to go to all fields. I mean, that's why, it's one thing to lead the nation in home runs and RBIs, but to lead the nation in batting average on top of it, and you're also patient at the plate, and you've walked 44 times, your total base numbers are absurd. That's a professional hitter. I'm not making this comparison. I'm just saying recently we saw Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers, join elite company.
He's a big dude.
For the season he's in the career he's had, right? Joining the Hank Aarons and the Willie Mays in some crazy or Albert Pujols in crazy statistic. Melendez is, as at the college level, is similar to that because how do those guys, rack up those numbers? It's they take good at bats every time. They don't get themselves out. They don't swing at bad pitches. The patience to work the count to your favor. And as we talked to David Pierce yesterday, the ability to understand that the scouting report on him and how teams are going to attack him has changed as the year's gone on. They started with one, okay, here's the book on Melendez. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go soft away. Well, Melendez said, okay, well, I realize that, so I'm going to, go to the opposite field. And I'm not just going to hit the ball to the opposite field for singles. I'm going to hit with power the other way, into gaps and over the fence. So teams are like, well, we can't do that. He's going to jump all over our soft stuff away. So now we got to bust him in. Well, now you're seeing him turn in on these inside pitches. It's just, I heard Coach Ty Harrington on with Craig on Wednesday talking about from the opposing viewpoint, like looking at it from the manager on the other bench. Okay, well, how are we attacking this? What's our game plan?
Get this dude out.
And it's you don't really know. And I heard Ty Harrington compared it to when Barry Bonds was at his best in Major League Baseball. He would take walks, he would get ahead in counts. The minute you try to get one by him,
bad pitches.
And that's just the year this kid's having, and it's very, very special to be that locked in. He hasn't gone into a prolonged slump this year, Buck. I mean, there's been
right, that little funk for just a couple of games. And that was it.
Couple of games, and that's the mark of what a special season it's been. Is that he went two or three games and was like, what's wrong with Ivan, what's wrong with Melendez, and he came right out of it, and that's how you over 105 at bats bat .428 and the run production and his teammates benefit from it. Coach Pierce has told us and talked about how his teammates study how he goes about his business and how he takes at bats and how he approaches the game, and it's really rubbed off on the whole offense and the whole team. Guys batting ahead of him see a lot of fastballs because they don't want to put runners on base. Murph Staley batting behind him has that luxury as well, and he's having a great season as well. But get out there and see him 6:30 tonight, and then on Saturday afternoon they'll wrap up the series with Kansas. Feel like they need a sweep in this one. To see how high they can get. Coach Pierce did say he thinks the best they can come out with is probably fourth place in the Big 12, but all of their goals still ahead of them, and they got the win last night 12-4. Taking your thoughts on that. Also, the state of college football for sure. We'll have special guests rolling in here, Buck. It's approaching 8 o'clock, tee time at 11. I would imagine we'll start to see some faces here in the coming next hour. So a lot to do at the Mullet Open. It is the 21st playing. We're at just outside of Bastrop, Texas. Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll reset some of the tournament talk. Also, Isaiah Collier will lead us through some hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through this show. Glad you're with us on a Friday. Getting you in your weekend on the Show of the People.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
No regrets ever, and we are live here at the Mullet Open. Speaking of Altstadt, look who's here, Brad Kellner. Brad Kellner.
He didn't even know if he was in my room last night. He said all the doors were open down the hall. He just went in and went to sleep. He said they're all open.
He slept in somebody's room on the second floor last night. Might have been yours. Might not have been yours.
Could have been my neighbor's. Who knows?
Yeah, as long as he got a good night's sleep.
But all these doggone kids, you know, they're flying around this place. This place is just so kid-friendly.
It is. It
almost makes me wish that I could – I'll talk to my wife about having some kids. I think we've passed that. That's a great idea.
That's the smartest thing you've said all morning. You're ready to have more kids.
I'd like to see what she says about that. I mean, they're running around having the greatest time of their lives.
Once you get to be grandma and grandpa or coach,
you're living a good life now.
You get to be grandpa, and you don't have to. They don't have to be yours. You get to spoil the heck out of them.
And then send them home.
That's a good thing, no doubt. But yeah, Brad Kellner is here. We'll check in with him. Have him on mic a little bit later in the program. Of course, he's doing great radio down in Houston now in the afternoon.
He just had a tape. I think he just gave a tape to go into the little raffle there of himself, his show. I swear he put up a tape of himself. I'm like, wait a minute. I want to hear that show down there. Come on now. It's a different kind of show, yeah.
it's a fun Friday. It's a special Friday. Obviously, you work long and hard to pull off this event each and every year, and it's on its way, 3 hours away. There's just over 3 hours away to tea time, so getting excited. And I know you're thankful for all the sponsors and partners.
Oh, they've been wonderful.
Everybody that makes this happen. We'll run through those again. We'll talk to some of them.
And believe me, you know, when we took on, as I said, when we took on the ladies at the Refuge Ranch, it has not been an easy year. I've had some people that have backed away because of their thoughts. It ended up being political on me. What are you doing? Are you afraid of the governor, or are you afraid of this, or are you afraid of the Texas Rangers? Well, it has nothing to do with that. I don't want to disappoint people that put their money as sponsors into this if things aren't right at a place. And once again, we will revisit the Refuge Ranch. I think guys understood how important that was. And I think, you know, a lot of men play in this tournament. There are women here too, but there are men that play in here that have daughters and sons that understand what sex trafficking is all about, and they've learned over the last couple of years. But if these young people aren't protected, we can't give money to them. That doesn't mean we don't come back. We just need to have everything done.
Yeah, take a pause on that.
Yes, taking a pause.
Conversation,
that's all we're doing.
For sure. But
absolutely.
No doubt. No question about it. And Burke Center for Youth.
They need every bit of it.
No question. All right, so Hot or Not is our segment, and that means Isaiah Collier back at the Horn headquarters leading us through some topics, some things we've missed halfway through the show, which is probably several because we've been all over Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, and the state of college football. Zay, how are you? How are things back at the empty, I'm assuming, Horn headquarters?
Yeah, we're cool in E, doing good, taking it easy, relaxed,
good,
comfortable.
Comfortable.
Am I going to see you out here later on today, Zay?
Yeah, I'll be out there. I'll be out there at the Shirts and Skins.
You know, we got a big fridge out here.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it. You know how I do.
Filled with some hog maw and some pig feet and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. I hope I could get some pork or something.
Hey, say, guess what? There's a swimming pool here, too. There's a swimming pool here, too, and Bucky has informed us that you do indeed know how to swim.
Oh, no, that was a question last week, and I'm like, of course he knows how to swim. Hell, he can stand up there. It's not deep enough.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see you. Your wife coming with you?
No, she won't make it today. She has to work, I'll be there.
More for you.
Yeah, all right, what have we missed there, Zay? What's our hot or not topic of the morning?
All right, fellas, hot or not Hall of Famer Jay Cutler back in the headlines for the reasons. All right, let me paint the picture for y'all because it's a lot and it's a little messy. So Jay Cutler and his kids, Jay Cutler by himself with his kids, went on vacation with another couple and their kids. Jay Cutler's friend, another guy, him and his wife and their kids. Apparently, Jay Cutler was hooking up with his friend's wife during this family trip. Yeah.
On family vacay?
On family vacay, while Jay Cutler was third wheeling with the kids. And the kids are there, too, which is real sleazy, Jay Cutler. But it's Jay Cutler. What can you expect? But, yeah, he was with the family. Christian Cavallari, remember, his ex-wife. They're not together anymore. She was informed, and she said that she wants to stay as far away from the situation as possible, so she really doesn't have any comment.
Holy.
She's not going to stay that far away if those are her kids. She's not going to – she won't stay away for long.
So what was happening? Was the father, the other dude, babysitting or what while this was happening? Like, I'm having a hard time understanding how that can –
was he playing the Jimbo Fisher role that I – you know, it doesn't happen here. It can't happen here.
Oh, my gosh. It says here, according to one insider, the former Chicago Bears quarterback, the pal, knows about it and is not real pleased, obviously. Jay went on vacation with his kids and friends and a wife and their kids. Husband and Jay are good friends. They're also neighbors. Kids are all friends. Oh, man. So I'm assuming there was hooking up happening before the vacation.
Yes. That wasn't the start of it. It had happened before, yeah.
Okay. That's how Jay got the invite.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's no husband-wife. I know. The wife has to sign off on, hey, honey, can Jay and the kids go with us? That would be fun.
Sure he can. He's very welcome.
Cutler. Wow.
That guy.
He is a Hot or Not Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that.
Certainly is.
The reality show and the that's an amazing story. Terrible. And you're right, Zay, about the kids being in what an ugly situation. Hate that for sure. Okay, so we've got a lot of other conversations to come. We'll reset those headlines, including that Jimbo or Nick Saban somewhat apology for his comments on Wednesday night that Jimbo Fisher certainly reacted to yesterday. Bad news for the Longhorns on the Jordan Addison front. It is official now. We'll get to that. And Longhorn baseball picks up a win to start their final series of the regular season. All things we're talking about live from the Mullet Open on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And you know we're always streaming for you wherever you go. Take us with you on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.